Welcome to the Sales Acceleration Podcast, where B2B leaders talk about real problems and real solutions across the areas of demand generation, sales, and sales operations. I'm your host, Gabe Larson. Let's get at it.
Welcome, everybody, to the Sales Acceleration Podcast. We got another day, another guest. This one is a controversial guest. His name is Daniel Disney, and he's joining us from the UK. Daniel, how the heck are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Gabe. It's the evening over here. I don't know what time it is across the pond with you.
Yeah. The thing is, Daniel and I have spoken a few times, and I always make him speak on my time. So it's midnight there, and it's about 2 PM our time. But either way, we're glad to have you, Daniel. I introduced him a little different than I do normal guests. You know, he's actually the founder of a company called The Daily Sales. He's a motivational speaker. He does keynotes. He's got an extremely great blog based out of the UK. Again, The Daily Sales got some cool stuff. But I noticed that I introduced him as the controversial guest. And the reason because of that is some of the stuff he's put out, it forces you. It brings out people's worst sides sometimes, right, Daniel? I mean, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. His article on cold calling, he's got some great pieces on what people in sales should and shouldn't be doing, but I got to admit, it pulls out the best and the worst of people. So I say somewhat controversial. I hope that's not too offensive.
No, not at all. I tell you what, you know, I'm passionate about sales, and I seem to hit topics that more passionate people like to talk about, whether it's things they believe in or don't believe in. And I think that's what the industry needs. Let's talk about the interesting debate, what can make salespeople better. And it's exciting stuff.
I love it. So, and I want to get into a couple of these. The problem with Daniel is it's hard to stay just with one topic. So I am probably going to toss him around to two or three different topics, but I probably did a poor job of introducing you. Can you tell us just a little bit about The Daily Sales and some of the cool things you guys do over there?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I've been working in sales for nearly 15 years now and just have loved it from, you know, making cold calls and knocking doors all the way up to leading, you know, large teams. And 2 years ago, I wanted to create a sort of page, a company that could share, you know, content with salespeople all across the world, share content that would be entertaining, motivating, inspiring, and educational. And so I came up with the idea of The Daily Sales, daily sales content for salespeople, across all those sort of areas. And it's grown massively. We're sort of over 110,000 followers, working with some nice companies now and just sharing, you know, good, fun content that the world seems to love.
Yeah. I mean, some of the memes, it's been your memes. You got to check it out. I mean, if you get bored, check out The Daily Sales. Some of your memes, I just find hilarious. So, so outside of work, Daniel, what's something, you know, more personal? Usually we push our guests to say, you know, they snowboard or they hella ski. Anything cool you do outside of work?
I'll give you two. The first one, not related to Walt Disney. I'm sure there'll be a few people listening that are going to be messaging me that question. So we'll answer it ahead. No relation to the Disney mega franchise, or at least not that I'm aware of. Maybe there's a
You're not getting any money in perpetuity, huh? Dang it.
Not yet. I know. Not yet. But beyond that, I'm a massive UFC mixed martial arts fan. Been to quite a few events, over in America than here in the UK. Massive UFC fan.
Interesting. So mixed martial arts. We're actually going to have a gentleman. What's his name? He's fascinating. I've worked with him a couple times, but you'll see him on Facebook. He's a mixed martial arts expert, and he works with businesses. So he's popping on the show here. That's his name. Harinder. Man, I can't even say his name, but he's a crazy guy. Got crazy videos. I may share his info after because he's a cool guy.
I'll be looking forward to that episode.
Works in our space a little bit. He's going to talk about how some of his mixed martial arts applies to sales. Anyways. Good. Well, first and foremost, the thing we got to ask to start with is, and I know you're speaking on this topic fairly in the next couple of days, it sounded like, but I mean, your content just kills it, right? I think that's something you and I have talked about before. I'm looking at this article, 10 Things That Will Never Change in Sales, 18,000 likes, almost 1,000 comments, 10,000 shares. I mean, I'm an avid, you know, content creator, but I suck, man. I mean, I'm getting 200 shares. I mean, I'm maxed out at 200 shares and maybe a couple hundred likes. I mean, how do you create viral content? And then I want to get into some of this viral content. But what's your secret, man? Any thoughts for people who are aspiring content creators?
Yeah, no, definitely. So, I mean, I've been creating content now for the Daily Sales for a couple of years, and I've always wanted to try and, you know, crack that nut that is, you know, creating viral content. And the key to successful content is consistency. It's making sure it's good quality. But to take it to that next stage, to take it viral, it's all about that right place, right time. So, for example, the 10 things that will never change in sales, going right back to the whole controversy, you know, the whole sales industry is up in arms at the moment about, you know, the cold calling versus social selling debate. And like we were talking about, Gabe, you know, people are getting so heated about it, which is, you know, it's entertaining, don't get me wrong. But then to write a post that was the 10 things in sales that will never change, that kind of unified everyone to come together and agree that, yeah, these are the foundation. You know, it was that right place, right time, right tone. Obviously kept with all the other key areas. And that was, I think, that next level.
Got it. Kind of took it to that next level. So thinking about the 10 things in sales that never change, there's obviously 10 of them based on the title. That's a given. Out of the 10, is there one or two or three? What would be your top three that you say, Gabe, out of these 10, my favorite items that I feel most passionate about are X, Y, Z? Any that kind of jump out more than others?
Definitely. So number one, and it's number one on the list, is prospecting will always be king. So, you know, for salespeople, you need to be prospecting every single day. You need to be feeding that pipeline. You know, that's the key activity.
You just can't get away from it. I mean, you know, in the article, it may change a little bit, but yeah, the idea of having to do prospecting. Now, if someone came at you and said, well, hold on a minute. I mean, will the world ever get to a place where we're so good at bringing the buyer in that we never have to go out to the buyer? Or there will always be, when I think of prospecting, I think of potentially doing some form of outward motion to actually get to the buyer. I mean, would you say something different about that? Or how do you see prospecting? It's always going to be there, but will it be different or will it change?
I mean, it's going to change. It's going to be many different forms. You're right. There'll be a lot of companies as the internet and digital world evolves that will attract more and more business, you know, through outbound marketing. But two things. One, you know, the role of a salesperson will change significantly for those that generate the majority of their leads. But equally, if they want to sell more, they're going to want salespeople that go out and, you know, whilst you can generate a lot of people coming in, you know, you're going to want more. So you're going to want salespeople going out and getting the extra business, you know, taking you to that next level. So yeah, it will change. But I think, you know,
there's always be that principle. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Some people say, you know, the salesman may die, but sounds like you're in the group. I probably put myself in the same group that I think there always will be that role of a salesperson who primarily is looking for those. Again, their modes and methods may change, but I do think they'll probably, you won't see, especially for bigger ticket items, that role of the sales rep die. So number two, is it actually just number two on the list, or what's kind of your second thing on your top 10?
Well, the second thing ties in exactly what we were just talking about, and that is that human relationships will never die. So people will always buy from people. So that's, you know, there will always be a role for a salesperson. And again, especially for bigger ticket items, because, you know, we need to buy from people. We need that trust, that reassurance. And especially, you know, when you're spending a lot of money, and don't get me wrong, I think as time goes on, what people value as a lot of money will change. So, you know, before we might have got funny about spending pounds online. Now we'll spend it every month on a Netflix subscription, you know. Whereas in the future, we'll probably get more comfortable spending bigger amounts online and digitally without human interaction. But certainly for larger deals and for negotiation, for relationships, right, for long term, you know, so human relationships will never die. That was point number six in the problem.
So, I mean, even in the article, you mention this idea of artificial intelligence, and we may need you to create some sort of controversial article on this topic, because AI is a buzz. I mean, it's definitely a buzz, but I'm not seeing it work incredibly well. You know, I mean, it's still young, so I'm not seeing, certainly obviously Netflix and Google, that's a different world, but in the B2B sales and marketing space, there's only a few great applications. But do you see, I mean, a lot of people say, hey, well, with AI, robots are going to take my life, take my job. I'll be reporting to robots. You don't see that coming down the pipe anytime soon.
Do you know, it's the same way I see social, and that's that it enhances the sales process. Mm-hmm. So social isn't to here to replace anything. It's not a new thing that's going to take over, but it's something that enhances that process. So I see artificial intelligence enhancing it. It'll enhance the customer experience. It will help enhance sales management and yeah. You know, everything internally, but it's so new, you know, it's going to be a while, I think, before we iron out all the
things. Yeah, you know, it was funny, we did a little research study on AI just to get a feel as what the market was thinking, and it was, you know, a lot of the respondents were saying they're like, we don't use AI, you know, like we don't use it. But then they were like, but we use Netflix and Google Maps and yeah. We use these things, Pandora, we use those every single day. So I mean, it was just definitely an eye-opening to say, I don't even, you know, especially in the sales and marketing world, I think we're still early on. There's probably some education that needs to happen. And you know, results say everything. So as we get more development, I think we'll probably see people jump on it a little bit more. All right, so number three. So you got prospecting, you got the human relationships. Give me round out the top three here.
Fantastic. Okay, my last top three, which is number eight on the list, and that is that salespeople will always need to adapt. And again, this goes back to that ever-changing landscape that is the sales industry. You know, new technologies, new digital platforms, these things. Best salespeople. And it's, you know, it goes right back when cold calling first was introduced, when email was first introduced. You know, the best salespeople are the ones that adapt to change, that can embrace it, you know, take it and make it their own.
Yeah, I mean, sales, I don't know. It seemed like maybe it didn't change for a long time, but now it is, if it's not tools, it's data. If it's not data, it's, you know, it's technology. If it's not technology, it's a new, you know, it's moving up market. I mean, I can't argue with that one. I like your top three. So I want to dive into this prospecting one. That was number one. And you kind of talk about, you know, prospecting will always be king. One of the things that you've been, I mean, I say pretty controversial because it got passed around to me. And, you know, I had actually one prospect send it to me, and then it got passed around a couple people at our office here. And so I don't know if it was really that controversial. But it kind of came across when the prospect said it to me, you know, there's like, oh my goodness, you know, is cold calling dead, do you think? And I was like, oh geez, another cold calling article. So you got it. So, and I actually, you know, I didn't actually write it to you. I may actually see if I could pick a fight with you at some point on cold calling. But at the moment, I took an opposite, right? I wrote an article. It didn't have 1 trillion views and 1 trillion shares like yours, but I kind of went and said, you know, social selling is dead. And I made some people mad. And you've said, you know, did Gary Vaynerchuk just prove cold calling is dead? Can you kind of set that up for those of the people who haven't read it? It obviously is around prospecting. Maybe set up just kind of the article, what it's about, and kind of what your main takeaway was.
Yeah, of course. So I'd seen a video online of Gary V talking at some big event, very young audience. And he asked the question, you know, who answers their phone? And yeah, I think it was everyone stand up, right? You know, stay standing if you you comfortably answer the phone when people call you. And, you know, the majority of people that sat down, and the point it really showcased was that certainly for younger generations, they're just using their phones for calling less and less. You know, phones are now for social media, for instant messaging, for video, and, you know, he even sort of says, even if it's your mum, you know, you're not answering the call. And it's, you know, people are turning off from using the phone for phone calls. And I think the point that I wanted to make in that, and it's, you know, same as you, and I did a post, actually, I did a status on LinkedIn, which got over 1,000 likes. And that was just sort of stating that cold calling isn't dead. Social selling isn't dead. You know, nothing is dead. Both are thriving at the moment. Yeah. The whole point to identify is that the industry is changing. You know, younger people who will be filling those decision maker roles in 5, 10, 15 years have different methods of preferred communication. So now's the time to, again, going back to that adapting point, now is when salespeople, you know, should be starting to adapt, embrace newer methods of communication, because, you know, it could be a different landscape in the future.
Yeah, interesting. So let's dive into this just a little bit. So both social and cold calling. So, you know, if you were, you know, put yourself in a sales rep's shoes, right? So if you were, you were trying to reach into a target account, walk us through maybe how you would try to approach that. I mean, would you think you'd start with a couple social messages? Would you potentially take out the phone at some point and try to give one of these quote unquote decision maker or influencers a call? What kind of outreach strategy, when it push comes to shove, would you potentially recommend, or do you feel like is most optimal for reaching out to a target account?
Do you know what? Genuinely, what's always worked for me over the last, you know, recent years has been using it all. So there will be people in your target prospect list that will answer your calls. There will be people that don't answer your calls, but they'll reply to your messages, or there'll be people in there that will send you a message because of a blog you've written. And so I've personally found that actually just being present and working on all of them has been the most effective strategy. So I've done it, you know, where I've, you know, written a couple of blogs, people have messaged me, that's created meetings and opportunities and created sales. Then I've, you know, been cold calling prospects from scratch, you know, and again creating opportunities that way. So, you know, LinkedIn messaging, emailing, Twitter, you know, it's using all of the tools available. And again, it's very much dependent on your industry.
Sure. No, absolutely. Yeah. And that's a great point, because every, you know, smaller ticket items, more high velocity. If we're selling, you know, widgets, that's probably more calling, you know, maybe bigger ticket items, it might be more this or that. So it sounds like certainly you're open to use, you know, whatever means you feel like are fun or is working with your target audience. That's probably the best one to go with. Make sure you have all tools in your arsenal. Do you feel like, you know, one of the things that I debated in my piece around social selling is dead is, where is that line? You know, and I was trying to kind of tease out some ideas. Someone like yourself and myself, aspiring to be probably a little more like yourself, you know, a little more famous. But, you know, I spent part of my job is to run this podcast, right? And mm-hmm. I've got someone who helps with the sound and with the editing. We do a research study as part of Inside Sales Labs once a month. We've got two guys who do research. They run this questionnaire and they clean it, and I work with them. We create ebooks, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we've got these different team members who help with content and managing social listening, you know, some of the stuff that's maybe pushed out against or for InsideSales.com. The role of a salesperson in there, you know, oftentimes I've had a sales rep say, I can't do all this stuff, right? I can't keep up with content and create downloadable pieces and manage my Twitter and my LinkedIn and my Facebook. And then, you know, really, really be reaching out to people proactively. It's all kind of a lot for me, mostly in the content creation, I think is where this rep was going. But do you feel like if you were coaching a sales rep or even talking to a sales leader, where's the balance? Where's the balance of power there? Should they go really far as you go, become an expert? Or should they just have a great LinkedIn profile and use LinkedIn to its full extent, which, again, I'm cutting out some of the content. I'm talking about knowing who to reach out to, trigger events, LinkedIn messages, in-mail, et cetera, et cetera.
I think this is the big challenge for sales leaders across the world. It's about this changing landscape and then adapting your team to suit that, because you will have people within your team that can absolutely, I mean, you know, I'm just a salesperson, you know, but I just have a natural comfort in writing and creating content, etc. So actually for me, it works really well. And you're right, for others, it won't work. And they're not natural creative writers or content creators. So don't push them into areas that they're not going to be either comfortable with or very effective at. So you want to create a balance across a team, because like we said, it's a mix of all these various activities. So you may have people within your team, if not, they may exist within the marketing team. It's about, you know, as a leader, bringing in all the right tools, all the right people into your team to effectively, you know, hit your target. But yeah, it's not for everyone.
Yeah. Do you, because one of my arguments was maybe to try to better partner with marketing, right? I mean, sometimes, and you may not have it in your own, I don't know what the makeup of the daily sales looks like if you do create most of it, but within our own organization, you know, and again, I think it's an interesting debate, but a couple of the leaders have said, guys, you have a monthly quota. I can't have you spending an exorbitant amount on social trying to create all your stuff. We literally have 15 people in marketing who can hand you stuff, get you studies, get you. Now, we don't always work very well together, truthfully, but sometimes I feel like maybe what we need is I definitely believe a salesperson should have a social presence, but mm-hmm. maybe we need to find that partnership a little more with marketing where, you know, they pass you the content or they get ahead and educate the buyer. The problem with that is it cuts back the salesperson's ability to be the expert. When the salesperson is creating the content, running the podcast, you know, being proactive, and I'm not just talking about sharing content, you guys, because just sharing content, that's not an expert. It's nice, but I think the expert, maybe you disagree, Dan. I mean, to me, the tip of the iceberg is you becoming an expert. And for that, your voice has to be heard. You can mm-hmm. share other people's content, but we got to hear from you. But, you know, our sales leader said, guys, it's a lot on a monthly quota to be creating a post a week because they're all territory based, right? I mean, it may be different if these guys weren't territories, but and LinkedIn, you know, some of the features I think are coming down on LinkedIn. Everyone who likes your comment almost should be a prospect or lead, but at the moment, there's not a lot of, and it just, there's some deficiencies, you know, Dan, and I'm like, I don't know where the balance is sometimes. I think it's interesting. I guess to your point, we all know that it's important, but the best way to get there is tough, you know?
It is. It, you know, it's really tough. And you know, here's an insight, but everything with the daily sales, it's all me. All the content I create from the memes, the quotes, the blogs, you know, 99% of everything shared is generated for me. And that's,
kudos, man.
That's
kudos.
On the side of a full-time job. So, you know, I have a full-time job totally separate to the daily sales. So,
oh, you're kidding. Tell me it's not. No, if not, you work at Starbucks, dude, you are my hero.
No, I wish I went to Starbucks now.
Yeah, because it's been. Are you so? You're serious? So the daily sales has been more of a side business. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the whole. You know, it comes from real passion. That's why I make the time. So when I hear people saying, oh, "I don't have the time to do it," you know, it's the same argument. Oh, I don't have the time to go to the gym. Well, you probably do, but it's how you manage your time better. Ooh. We all have the same 24 hours in the day.
Yeah, if you really want to do it, you'll find time to do it, right?
Yeah, too, right. So I think people have the time, but you're right. It's about, I think social is the common ground for sales and marketing to come together. Obviously, you know, always had their disagreements, but social is that one opportunity where they can both collaborate, work together. You know, marketing needs to understand sales better if they want to create good social content, and sales need to understand marketing if they want to also create content or engage on social media effectively, because you know, social is that merging of both. There's a bit of sales in it. There's a bit of marketing. So.
Yeah, you know, I like some of your points. I mean, because, you know, in this new model, not the new model, but an evolving model of sales, you got that challenger approach, right? Or you need to be the consultative sales approach. But again, to do that, you've got to kind of have your own domain. You got to be the expert, right? And if you're not out in front creating content, then I feel like you have a hard time doing it. Do you imagine a world where everybody does start doing this, where everybody starts creating content? And I think you mentioned it earlier. A little pulse? You just posted on LinkedIn and said, "Hey guys, what are some of the big trends or challenges coming down the pipe?" And it sounded like one of those was potentially going to be, you know, too many experts doing too many great things.
Yeah. And it's funny. We were just talking about, obviously, people wanting to become an expert. And I think, you know, to be successful on social, you don't have to be an expert. Obviously, that's a great place to get to and a great place where you can, you know, magnet attract prospects, etc. Certainly not the only way you can use social effectively as a salesperson. You know, you can just have strong profile, you can engage, you can, you know, research and build relationships. You don't have to be seen as an expert, but it allows you to showcase what you know, what you're interested in, your values. So by having a strong profile, by, you know, sharing and engaging in good content and, you know, building those relationships, that's the core foundation to sort of social success for a salesperson. Obviously, you can take it steps further and become seen as an expert, create groups and pages.
Yeah, it's the baby steps, right? I mean, you got multiple options there.
Social definitely is flooded with experts at the moment, and there seems to be, certainly in the sales industry, this sort of concern about how do you define an expert, because everyone obviously would like to be an expert and everyone would like to claim to be, and it's as simple as I could type expert into my title right now and you know, people would, you know, suddenly think I was, and it's okay, so how do you earn that title? What do you need to do or demonstrate to prevent it? And the risk with social is it does dilute that out quite a
So. Yeah, right. It evens the playing field, but it dilutes it. So as you think about, I mean, we've hit on a couple of key trends today. As you think about the future, and I know you talk to people, what are some of the big or more interesting things you think will be controversial here coming up? Certainly, we've talked about the dilute, maybe everybody becoming an expert. Do you see a couple other things popping up that are going to be kind of controversial?
Yeah, we talked about it before, artificial intelligence. Whilst, you know, it's a muttering in the industry at the moment, it's because people, you know, they fear it. You know, everyone's talking about robots taking their jobs and, you know, salespeople. There's some crazy statistics about the amount of salespeople that will be out of jobs by 2020, you know, from various research. So that's an interesting topic, but it's obviously quite complex. You know, leadership, sales leadership, you know,
always
people are starting to... It always is, and people are really starting to point at the top and say, look, you know, the salespeople, another sort of hot area. You're right, the experts is another piece, and social, which is, you know, let's not beat around the bush. Social and cold calling is still probably the hottest.
It's a great way to end. Well, Daniel, really appreciate it, man, as we wrap. I just following some of your content again, your memes are, I sent a couple of them out to a couple of friends, got a couple of good laughs. So, love your content, love your controversy. And certainly appreciate you jumping on the Sales Acceleration Podcast. If someone wants to get a hold of you or digest some of this on their own, any recommendations?
Yeah, no, please do reach out, connect with me on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, check out the Daily Sales. You know, I hope you enjoy the content, and, yeah, thanks for having me on, Gabe.
Appreciate it, man. For our audience, let's get at it.